Greetings. I'm Bill Kladke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Today we have our second interview with Laurie Ruth Esquire, who's legal director for the Women's Law Center of Maryland. And today we're going to talk to Laurie about domestic violence, what to do about it, how to protect yourself, and what to do if you run into problems. So, Laurie, thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me.
First of all, could you tell us a little bit, please, about the Women's Law Center of Maryland?
Yes, I work at the Women's Law Center of Maryland. We are a statewide legal services agency, and we offer direct representation services as well as some hotlines and we do some advocacy work. But for the purposes of your listeners, you know, I think today we're mostly going to talk about our direct representation projects involving domestic violence.
How can someone find out more information about the center?
Well, our website is www.wlcmd.org. It stands for Women's Law Center of Maryland. And our main phone number is 410-321-8761.
I know that you folks do a lot of different things to help folks. One of the things you do, of course, is legislative advocacy, of which you're in the middle of right now. On that, is there anything that our listeners can help with regarding that?
Well, I would encourage anybody who wants to make a difference to be involved in Annapolis during our 90-day session, which started in January and goes through the first Monday of April. There are many ways to know what's happening, including subscribing to the Women's Law Center's legislative alerts. If there's another organization that you are involved with or care about, they may also be doing some work. House of Ruth does legislative alerts. There is the Maryland Network Against Domestic Violence if you care about domestic violence. But some of the healthcare organizations also do legislative work. The thing that matters the most is calling or emailing your local legislator, whoever represents you, and telling them when you either support or oppose a bill. So if something matters to you, your voice can be heard that way. And they count those telephone calls. They count those emails. They want to hear from their constituents. So if you really like something, you should let them know. And if you really don't like something, you should let them know that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. And again, the website WLCMD.org has
yes.
some connections for that, as well as the House of Ruth and the Maryland Network Against Domestic Violence.
Yeah.
Let's talk specifically about your various work against domestic violence and helping folks that are victims of same. Could you please
okay.
tell us about your work, please?
Yes, we have, I'm going to focus on two of our direct representation projects. The first is actually a fairly specific area of law. It is called our MDOVI project, which stands for Multi-Ethnic Domestic Violence Project. It's located in Baltimore City Circuit Court in the Cummings Building, although everything is remote right now. This is a project that assists foreign-born victims of domestic violence, intimate partner violence, sexual assault, or trafficking to obtain their legal status in the United States independent of their abuser. So, you know, these are people who really have very little voice, very little that they can do to protect themselves. But the MDOVI project will help them obtain a visa, the appropriate visa for them to stay here and be here legally. And I have to say, of all the work that we do at the Women's Law Center, the people we help in this MDOVI project, they are extraordinary. They have survived so much to get where they are, and they have suffered a lot in many ways. Sometimes they haven't seen family members in years or even a decade, so they don't necessarily have the support systems that some other people do. And once they can obtain legal status, they really know no limits. We have many clients who've gone on to college, who've gone on to successful careers, who've been able to really, really be successful and give back to their community once they get the help that they do from MDOVI. And I want to give you that phone number.
Please.
It's 410 396-3294. And we do have a bilingual Spanish-English advocate who answers that line. About 90 to 95% of our clients are Spanish speakers, but we help people from Africa, we help people from South America, we help people from various Asian countries, and we have, you know, a language line to do that in whatever language is necessary for them. But our advocate does speak fluent, she's actually from Spain, but she speaks fluent Spanish and English.
Great. So that's 410-396-3294?
Exactly.
Okay, wonderful. And give us an example of one of the folks that you've helped in this. That'll help our listeners get an idea.
Well, you know, sometimes people come in as adults without status, and sometimes they're brought here as children, so they really haven't had any freedom of choice in how they've arrived in America without legal status. That is the most concerning is, for survival reasons, they sometimes get involved with somebody who is an abuser. They are controlled in a power and control dynamic and abused by that U.S. citizen or green card holder who often holds their immigration status over their head as a threat so that they cannot leave. And that's the hardest part for these mostly women. We do help men as well, but mostly women. So the idea is they can't ever sort of right the ship because they're being held under this threat of deportation, of being reported to ICE and whatnot for not being here legally, and it keeps them in a position of being abused and whatnot.
Oh, awful situation.
So that's sort of the broadest frequent story that you will hear in this project. Everybody's individual story can be different. Generally, there are plenty of arranged marriages in different cultures, and somebody has flown over here from another country to marry a naturalized citizen or a green card holder here, and they're treated essentially as slaves. And I mean that both from a labor trafficking perspective and a sex trafficking perspective. They don't have any freedom, and they don't speak English, and they have no way to get out. And so I'm always sort of the most fascinated by this arranged marriage scenario because it's just so sad. They think they're coming here for a better life, and then they're essentially traded into this, you know, very dangerous and painful dynamic.
Right. So when they would contact your bilingual and multi-language intake person, you folks would then provide help based on the case?
Yes. So this is federal relief. This is relief that's available by the federal government. It's not state law.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a victim of crime, which is domestic violence or sex trafficking is a crime, if you are a victim of crime, you can seek what's called a U visa, just like the letter U. And that is a victim of crime style visa. If you cooperate with law enforcement, you can get a certification that you cooperated with law enforcement to prosecute the criminal, and then you apply to the federal government to get the U visa that helps you stay here legally. That's our most common type of application that we do now. It sometimes takes 3 to 5 years. It's been much more difficult over the past 4 years with the immediately prior president that we had. It remains to be seen if it gets a little better under our present president. We don't know yet. But the other type of visa, besides the U visa, there's a T visa for trafficking victims. And then we also do what are called VAWA self-petitions. So VAWA is the Violence Against Women Act. And if you are married to your abuser and can prove certain things, you are able to obtain a VAWA self-petition. In other words, you don't need your abuser to sponsor you to obtain citizenship here. You self-petition under the VAWA self-petition process.
Right.
This takes a long time, and it's very expensive as well. The fees that you have to pay to the federal government are very high, and it can take, you know, I want to say 3 years or more. But at least if you start the process with Madhavi, they help you with all of the extensive paperwork that you have to do, and they get it filed with the federal government, and they keep you apprised of the status. And while that's pending, you get sort of temporary status here. So we obtain that for you. And then you can get a work permit. So that's the big ticket, right? Once you get a work permit, right, you can work legally in the United States and you don't have to work under the table or not work at all.
Let's talk about, thank you. Let's talk about how our listeners can protect themselves. I know with COVID, we've all seen the reports that domestic violence is up as people are very stressed and very depressed and very confined. What can our listeners do to protect themselves?
You know, I wish I had an easy answer for that. And I completely, I think that COVID has, you know, really complicated matters and made it more dangerous for many, many people because they can't leave. And, you know, obviously the clearest path is to get away from your abuser, but COVID has made that extremely complex. So there are agencies that engage in what we call safety planning within your own household, which to put it simply is, if you see the violence escalating, don't go towards the kitchen where the knives are. Go towards the, you know, the room where it's all soft cushions. I'm obviously simplifying things,
yeah.
But so that's been something that places like House of Ruth, for example, and there's another agency in Baltimore City, Baltimore County called Turnaround, and they do a lot of that internal, you know, within the home safety planning. In non-COVID times, when we talk about safety planning, we talk about not going to the same grocery store at the same time every week, altering your route to work, you know, changing your passwords and whatnot on the internet, and that type of thing. But when you're in the home with your abuser, it's a completely different dynamic and much harder to manage.
Right.
We do know that hotline calls have gone through the roof. Because people are stuck in the home, so they find an opportunity to call, but they can't necessarily find an opportunity to leave.
What would be the hotline number they should call?
That's a good question. I can give you the National Domestic Violence Hotline, which is 800-799-7233, and they will refer you to your state's hotline. Each county and Baltimore City and Maryland also have a designated 24-hour hotline. So depending upon what county you live in, there's one local to you. And the other thing I will say is you can call 211. I'm not sure if your listeners are familiar with 211, but it is a very useful information line that is essentially what I always describe as for social services and legal services. And so if you say, you know, call 211, you say, I'm living with my abuser and I'm in Anne Arundel County, they will look for the domestic violence service provider in Anne Arundel County and the 24-hour hotline in Anne Arundel County to give you to make that further call. That's true. 211 is a fabulous resource. It's, you know, they're going to cut off my electricity. What do I do? You know, I'm going to be rendered homeless. What do I do? I need counseling for my, you know, teenager who has mental health issues, what do I do? It's a very all-encompassing information line that's really, really useful.
We're just about out of time, Laurie. Could you give us that contact information, please, for the Women's Law Center and your contacts for domestic violence and for the Madovi Project, please?
Yes. Women's Law Center is at 410-321-8761. That's our administrative office in Towson. Our website is www.wlcmd.org. And Madovi, our multi-ethnic domestic violence project, is a statewide project, so you can call from anywhere, and they do everything remote now via Zoom. They were really able to ramp that up very well. And they are at 410-396-3294. The National Domestic Violence Hotline is 800-799-7233.
I really appreciate your coming today and providing all this good information for folks to act on. But unfortunately, that's all we have time for today in Living in Baltimore. I want to thank our guest, Laurie Ruth Esquire, who's legal director of the Women's Law Center of Maryland, for being our guest today. Thank you, Laurie.
Thanks for having me.
Keep up your good work for all of us. And
thank
for
you.
Living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.